Man, we got a lot to get into today, man. 1 week hiatus. We're going to get into, of course, you know, the future Metro. We Still Don't Trust You, part two of their two album series. We're going to get into this little Drake beef. We got updates with the Drake versus everybody beef.
Drake versus the world.
Kendrick, we need ya, the West Coast savior. Ain't greater your name and some hip-hop history. If you deal with this viciously, you seem a little nervous about all the publicity. Fuck this Canadian light-skinned doc. We need to know the baby West Coast victory, man. Call him a bitch for me. Talk about him liking young girls, that's a kid for me.
Here's the part where I really want to jump in and disagree with both of you guys. Why does Drake have the biggest I do corny shit and get away with it pass in human existence? If any other rapper used a corny dead Tupac and a corny AI Snoop,
do you not see the point of it though?
If Rick Ross did it and responded to Drake, what would you guys
Rick
say?
Drake has gotten this, Drake has gotten his pass though, because Drake has embraced the corny shit, the meme shit.
Y'all like gonna call him corny regardless of what he does. Right. Like,
he's been embraced that. He's embraced that since the Hotline Bling shit. That's what he fully just said. I'm just gonna like embrace this shit.
This isn't corny shit. This isn't new.
I don't wanna make it a y'all. I wanna say, keep it between us three, our point of views. Unheard, we ran like a poll and I voted. I thought after push-ups, I thought Drake was in the lead. I thought Drake was winning. I thought he like 20 versus 1, and he really tied up the series. I thought that was impressive. And even if he just dropped Taylor Made Freestyle with his verse, I was like, damn, that would be hard. He dropped it right after he finally drops push-ups. I just think the AI shit is beyond corny. Like,
but do you not understand
the fact that he's just getting away with it?
I think I have to, like, you have to hear me out at least. At least, okay, like, go. Try. Okay. Can we first set the premise that, like I said earlier, Drake is looking to win this through antics and online conversation, less in the actual quality and lyrical miracle, like this song quality of the bars? Can we at least agree on that premise that Drake's approach so far has been, I'm going to control narrative and antics?
I can agree on that premise, but
From my point of view,
I don't like that premise. I don't like that.
I don't care about life.
That's what I'm saying. This was going to be
but
like
you're
the
being
two
biased
of our
because
generation
you don't like
going
him.
Against
you're
me.
Being biased
no,
because
no,
you don't
no.
like
Look,
him. That's
me,
a bias.
I let you lob the premise. Now, let me say why I don't like the premise. Because I thought this was going to be the two ghosts of our generations going against each other on a talent basis.
Why would you think that?
And seeing who wins.
Why would you think that?
Because this is what they've been jabbing at each other subliminally for years.
Come on, bro.
But check
this.
Check
this. Be a battle of like, bro, who's the best. And now
this
it's just
is,
getting
but more. This is the thing, though.
Bro. It just doesn't make any sense. This is my point. Kendrick fans are like, this is the thing that's confusing me the most about this. Kendrick fans are expecting Drake to like act the same way Kendrick is acting in this beef. But Kendrick's whole premise of this beef is, I don't respect the way that you've ever moved in this industry. So why all of a sudden are Kendrick fans and everybody on his side expecting Drake to like follow these rules of rap respect and like no antics? Like, nigga, that's Mr. Antics.
Okay, so using your same logic, why are Drake fans expecting Kendrick to respond rapidly with a microwave counter?
The reason Drake fans are pressing Kendrick to drop is because for years Kendrick has been hinting that he has a bomb to drop on Drake, and he's been jabbing and he's been talking about smoking on top five. And then finally, like, come on, bro, you're acting like I wasn't on that side of it like 2 weeks ago. It was finally the moment, you know, like after all the subliminals, you know, the smoking on top five, all the stuff over the years, the last couple of years, finally he comes out like that verse, shoot straight at him. Fuck the big three, is big me, like everything. Cole apology, like, nigga, I'm the boogeyman. Like, come on, he was moving like a killer. Like, I'm a killer, right? Like, you're a corny ass outsider to this culture. And I said it, I was on the podcast. I was like, he's not lying. It looked like Drake was moving like running around like he was Pac, and he needed some straightening. Because he was moving around crazy, making enemies left and right. But now with the way that niggas aren't, why if you're Kendrick, would you not be pressed to get Drake out the paint? Like, before there's any narrative talk, before there's any AI discussions about if your response is real or AI, if people are talking about the timeline of, well, he got 3 weeks, so he gets 3 weeks, like all that bullshit could get thrown out the window if you just drop the track that you've been hinting you've had for years. It's that simple, bro. And I wouldn't have these expectations if Drake was the first one to start this shit. But you came on a Future album. You damn near jumped the nigga because you joined up with somebody else who was dissing. You chose to diss on him. And then now when he responds twice, you don't have anything. There's not a peep from your camp. Does that not look a little crazy to you?
Okay. How long
yes
has
or
it
no,
been?
Bro? It's
how
yes
many
or...
hours has it been? If Kendrick responds on Friday, this episode.
No, sorry.
Wednesday, if Kendrick responds
fuck
on
the
Friday,
second one. No, fuck the second one. After the first one, why has it been? Does it not look a little crazy? I'm just asking a yes or no question, bro. You drop a song that's literally called "Like That." You know what the phrase "Like That" means, boy? It means I'm like that. It means there's no big three. It's big me. And then
you're acting
you,
like it's been 7 months. It's been 2 weeks. That's what I'm saying.
Bro, I'm not acting like it's been because so he hasn't spoken yet. But my thing is this just is like this is the problem you fall into.
This is
right?
an excuse.
You can't bait a nigga in a beef, and when a nigga respond, you ain't ready. Like, cause this, what I'm expecting like that to be is the bait. Like that is to get a Drake response, and bait. Once I get the response, this is where I go in and I commit the murder. It's the same thing Meek did. Meek, you can't call out Drake on Twitter. He follows up with his track, and then he goes up with back to back to get you out the paint, and you still take 3-4 days to respond. At that point, nigga, the beat is over with. I don't think this is to that extent. Niggas gonna respect Kendrick enough, and I don't think Drake has so quote unquote killed Kendrick.
He hasn't.
But yes, when Kendrick responds, he has one response to make niggas like, oh yeah, like I want to hear what Drake got to say to this.
Can I follow?
Like, somebody got to pull that big joker though. Like, where's the big joker?
No, can I follow up on that? That's my point. If I'm on Kendrick's side, or if I'm a fan of Kendrick, you know, like the checklist of what he had to do in his response that would seem like a feasible response, that checklist went up a trillion. Those expectations went up a trillion. Because Drake is now controlling the narrative, which is what we knew he would do. He's Mr. Antic. He's Mr. You know, Academics is his biggest fan, and Academics is the biggest hip hop streamer every day on YouTube Live. So you can't act like people acting surprised that Drake is moving this way is just the funniest shit ever. And if anything, in my opinion, I feel like it's just playing into what Drake wants, because it's like, yo, like I've seen people compare him to Trump and all that shit, but it's like, yo, it's the same shit. You can compare it to it if you want to, but Trump won the presidency that way. Like, it's not about like what's right and wrong all the time. Sometimes it's about what is the narrative. That's what hip hop is. So like, I feel you. I'm not saying that like 2 weeks is the death sentence, like it's over for Kendrick, but like the amount that the tide has turned just off the strength of Drake punching and Kendrick being silent, I just didn't expect it to shift this much. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, bro. I'm listening to
facts.
You guys
not
He's
noticing
been silent.
Yourselves getting swept up into the narrative of who? DJ Academics waking up every day and saying, it's been 2 days since Kendrick.
Nigga.
With no response to Kendrick.
There are no real points. This is not an objective game that we're playing. There are no real points. There are no, you put ball in hoop, 1 point. Ball and hoop, 2 points.
I didn't even
point.
Say anything about points just now. There, you just guys don't notice yourself being swept up in
it's
the narrative.
It's how the narrative. It's a fact.
I'm being swept up. I don't feel like I'm being swept up. But Kendrick, I agree. Like, after this shit, like, no, bro, Kendrick, don't. You don't have all day. You don't have all the time in the world to respond.
No. We can move on now. Because, listen, this might make Taj feel a little bit better about our, you know, so like, quote-unquote bias or whatever. I believe there is a path. To like, there is a path to victory for Kendrick. Like you said yesterday, he just got to make Drake look goofy the same way Pusha did. Like, Pusha make Drake look
you
goofy.
You got to have a
because,
big joker.
Because listen, like, Pusha knew one, you can't waste time with Drake. So that's why when all these people are trying to say, like, yo, Kendrick can take his time. Like, yes, I know it's Kendrick. I know he has a little bit more, you know, armor and a little bit more support on his side, ammunition. But at the same time, like, Pusha's game plan worked for a reason. You know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. I'm not going to challenge the way that he did it. So one, he came on, he was quick. As soon as Drake dropped the duppy, he had Adidon ready to go. It was ready. And two, like Chance said, he had a big joker. Like,
okay.
You need to, a big joker, man.
My point is, if Kendrick responded to push-ups when the leak first came out, like, or had dropped a diss when that first came out, like, he wouldn't have needed a Big Joker. His Big Joker might have killed Drake.
But fuck when it came out. He heard the
leak. Wait. Let me ask. Please. Let me rebuttal a point. You guys bring up Pusha. Can we acknowledge that Pusha and Kendrick have two completely different goals in their beefs with Drake?
What's that?
Pusha's goal was to just embarrass Drake. Kendrick and Drake literally hate each other. Kendrick wants this nigga Drake out the paint permanently. Nah,
Pusha and Drake really did not like each other, bro. You see what they did?
If Drake really didn't like each other, that beef would have never got squashed. Drake would have dropped his fucking nuclear diss. That shit would have never got squashed.
I don't know, though.
There would have been no talking Drake off the ledge.
There was... He just... Nigga.
He bluffed him.
Pusha made this nigga Drake change his whole album. His whole rollout.
Yeah, bro. It was no coming back from that.
Let me finish the point.
Can you let me finish the point? If there was no coming back from it, why are we still talking about Drake today? I think what Kendrick wants to do is what Kendrick wants to do is to make sure there literally is no coming back. I think he wants everybody to look at Drake differently from this point forward, and you can never listen to Drake.
Nigga, that's what Pusha's goal was.
Big Joker.
That wasn't Pusha's goal. Pusha's whole thing was talking about Adonis. That's what the main thing everybody took away from Pusha.
But no, listen. Yeah, I think
Kendrick really wants people to listen to Drake's music and be like, nah, that shit is not it.
Bro,
that's what Kendrick's goal is.
I don't disagree, but that's why, like, y'all didn't let me finish talking about Pusha. That's what Pusha's goal was. Listen, at the time that Scorpion and all that shit came out, Drake was Mr. Calculated. This was 2 years fresh off the Meek Mill beef. He literally was coming off of his most dominant reign as a fucking international superstar that we know as Drake. 2014 through 2016, Drake is a superhero. You feel me? I'm not trying to be like biased. I'm just being objective. In rap, that nigga was on different timing. Summer 16 tour, What a Time to Be Alive. The nigga was there. Meek Mill beef, he wins that, comes out unscathed, you know, whatever. He's 2 years off of that, and he's looked at in the culture as Mr. Calculated. Damn near Mr. Perfect Image, right? So you can't say that Pusha's goal was just to, like, you know, slap Drake in the face. Like, no, nigga, he broke down the entire image that we know of Drake being this calculated guy that doesn't get embarrassed and never is exposed. It's like if some shit like that happened to LeBron, that we found out LeBron had some crazy scandal. It'd be like, whoa, not that it's the craziest scandal that's that uncommon. You know, he got a stripper pregnant, but it's the fact that we think this is some, you know, damn near perfect human being that has their eggs in their basket. You know, their shit is in order. And for this,
he had a kid with a porn star that he doesn't tell the world about.
That's my point. Is that Kendrick and Pusha are trying to achieve the same thing?
Push was trying to destroy. You just said Push was trying to destroy Drake's perfect image.
He's trying to destroy Drake's music image. It's like the same difference.
It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing.
Bro, Drake is more of an image than he is his music.
After Drake and the whole Pusha thing happened, once Drake claimed Adonis, everybody was like, it's cool. Okay, we love Drake again. I think what Kendrick is trying to do is make tweets. I don't want to listen to this nigga Drake anymore. That's two different goals.
Let's say that's what he want to do.
I disagree.
No. Before you go there, let's just say that is what he want to do. Then what do you think is an appropriate route to accomplish that? All right, because this is what I'm thinking.
I think a win
for each artist means different things. What does a win for Kendrick mean? And how does he get there?
I think Kendrick and Drake both know what's about to happen. Kendrick said on like that, the whole Prince and Mike Jackson thing. He said the whole, your catalog, your best work is a light pat. Drake on both of his responses has like thrown these, like everybody said Drake is doing the 8 Mile shit. He's thrown out these like things that he thinks or he wants Kendrick to attack him on, like, yeah, the pedophile rumors. Yeah, to this, to that. But he hasn't talked about the music type disses. I think that's what is coming. And I think that's what a win for Kendrick would be, is that everybody looks at Kendrick's number one competitor. Drake has really been the one.
What's his Joker, though? Who gives a fuck? Drake got exposed for ghostwriting. What is his Joker?
There is no Joker. It's just the fundamental difference of how you look at his music. That's what Kendrick wants.
So listen, Taj.
Who's judging the beef, though? Remember, you think old heads, anybody above 40, do you think they give a fuck about this beef? Taj. You think people are talking about this in your grandpa barbershop?
As much as I want to hear you.
In your uncle barbershop.
As much as I hear you, I don't agree at all. because it's not going to happen. That can't be Kendrick's goal because that won't move the needle at all. Like, you literally just said it, bruh. Pusha exposed everything we thought we knew about Drake public facing, right? Mr. Womanizer, he's going to probably end up with the baddest bitch ever, you know? And then he found out he has a stripper pregnant. He's been hiding his son. Like, then this whole perpetual thing about him being like a bad father and his dad abandoning him and all this shit. We're like, damn, nigga, this is really deep. The blackface photo, like, the nigga looked crazy. And my point was,
he destroyed his image.
So listen, yes. But my point is this, like, you can't act like that isn't connected in some way to like just how you view Drake. And if that's how you view Drake, it's going to be how you view the music intrinsically. Now, listen, if you just attack the music, you just said it yourself. Pusha at breaking down Drake's image, it worked. People acknowledge that it was an L and it was a real stain in Drake's career. Do we still listen to the Drake records? Yes. Kendrick has to achieve that at a minimum.
And I don't think so. That's where we disagree.
Okay. All right. That's where we disagree. I don't think
so. So again, how does Kendrick, how do we come out of this saying Kendrick win?
Your album sucked.
That is a lofty goal to say we're going to look at the way we listen to, we're going to change the way we're listening to Drake music.
I agree.
We found out bro had ghostwriters, bro.
No, your mic is still, what's his naming, by the way, but I'm also.
My fault.
No, listen.
I'm talking loud.
Which is funny is I agree with Taj's entire premise that you have to change the way we look at Drake. And in my opinion, that means the way we listen to his music and view his music. But I feel like that is also the definition of a big joker. I feel like we're all trying to say the same thing. There needs to be.
Okay, well, if that's a big joker, then I'm thinking when y'all say big joker, like there's some secret shit about Drake we don't know.
No, not a secret, but just something that has to change to us.
Well, yeah.
The reason we say big joker is because with Push, it felt like there was nothing Push could say. And then he said something that we never could have thought of, you know, like Big Joker. And to people, like, that was kind of Drake's only L in rap beef we've ever seen. So in our opinion.
But this is the thing. No, bro, even Meek had a big joker. The ghostwriting shit was a big joker. It just wasn't deployed right.
Nah. Because listen, it wasn't. And that's my point, is that shit isn't going to fundamentally change the way you listen to Drake. Because niggas knew Drake wasn't writing all of his records before. If you, like, you know, cared at all, like, about music. And I don't think it really changed the perception in the long run after. I just don't know if Kendrick is going to have something, you know, that's gonna change that. And my point is, like, it doesn't help Kendrick's side and his look that, like, he's taking a little bit longer. Because he was looking like, when you drop like that, people were expecting him to be the first one to try and back-to-back Drake. Like, I don't think anybody was thinking it was going to go this way. That's my point. Nobody was thinking it was going to go this way. And if you say that, like, I feel like that's fully cat. That, like, people thought that Drake was going to be able to gain this much momentum with, like, two songs in about a week and a half, like, from leak to second song out. And I don't think – I'm not just talking about Drake. I'm not just trying to gas up Drake. But I also don't think people predicted that Kendrick would be this quiet or that we would not know this much about from Kendrick's side. Because like that is like the most, you know, public facing, I'm right in your face shit he's damn near ever done since Control. But like Control wasn't even as big of a record as like that. So I just think people thought Kendrick would follow up with that energy. And because the energy was crazy, bro. The reason I'm critiquing him so hard is damn near because he set the standard so high. The energy was nuts on like that. And it just... To be quiet, it's just not, it went like, he might have something. I'm not saying it's over. You know, we might come back to this episode in a week and say that we sounded crazy. But
I don't think it's over at all. I don't think it's over.
If
Kendrick doesn't, I don't think anybody thinks it's over.
Like, nobody thinks it's
over. Like over like few more weeks, then I'm like, okay, yeah, Kendrick, you fumble.
Crazy. Nah, but that's the thing, though. That nigga this popcorn has, era, that nigga, this nigga needs a response.
Yeah, that nigga has next Friday, bro. In beef on Twitter, that shit is every day, bro. And those are the only niggas caring about this beef. Like, that's what Chance is saying. Like, this
who's
like, judging
the beef?
You have to play to your you have to play to the arena. Like, if you're gonna play in the NBA, you better be able to shoot the three. If you're gonna play in the NBA, you better be able to shoot the three, nigga. We don't give a fuck about that mid range shit, nigga. You better be able to shoot the three or make a layup or play some defense. You know, 3-and-D. You better be able to play our game, not that Euro League shit that you came over with. Like, you better be able to check our boxes off. And unfortunately, we've seen Drake in this arena before. We've never seen Kendrick in it. And it looks like Kendrick is like, it damn near looks like he's not familiar with the arena.
In a nutshell, if this was Kendrick versus Cole, we can judge it on that criteria. But you know who you got in the ring with. Facts. You know how folks is going to judge this.
That's a good point. I think that's a really good way.
And that's my point. Like, if you think that Kendrick is going to go in here and he's going to a bar nigga to debt, and that's what niggas going to roll with at the end of the day, like, you're crazy.
Yeah, okay.
Like that is not going to be that can't be the meat.
It can't be the
and the potatoes. That can't be the meat and the potatoes. Like, barring a nigga to debt is extra, but that can't be the meat and the potatoes.
The fuck you just said? That sounds. You just said in a
but rap just saying. Beef. No, but this is what I'm saying. Nah. Just
pause. You just saying a rat beef. Barring a nigga to death is extra.
All right, that's not what I meant. Barring a nigga to death was the wrong phrase. I mean, like, just getting on there and saying, I'm the best, or like this, that, and the third. Like, you have, like, we need, like, what is everybody talking to? Drop and give me 50, nigga. Like, that is the tagline. Like, you need to come up with something to rebuttal that.
Hella disrespectful.
There needs to be something disrespectful. There needs to be a joker.
And beef anyway.
Just all right, well, that's my point. But just Kendrick coming on here and just rapping about how I'm the best and shit.
Cause that's
or like how you can't fuck with me. Like, we know that's how you feel, nigga. Like, what's new?
Facts.
You get what I'm saying? Like, what's new? It's basically what I'm getting at.
Facts. Yeah, I don't know. So I think it's pretty, I think Drake is up in the trend, you know? I think he's probably getting the halftime interview probably going into half. But I think it's probably like, what, 55-45 going into half. Is that crazy?
I would say my last point is Drake also gets the benefit of having jabbed these nigga previously. Like, his shit, all his shit get a little bit more luster because you listen to this diss, and then you go back to the other shit that where you ain't know he was dissing, and you're like, oh shit, that was a diss too. And that almost give bro a few extra points because it's just like, well, damn.
But these niggas been jabbing each other both.
Yeah, I'm not glazing Drake for a decade.
I'm not glazing him for that, but I'm just saying, like, remember, he's still getting points off that too. If at least with Drake the other niggas.
You got to give Kendrick points for that.
Facts.
I'm not factoring any other nigga. Like, Rocky tried to jump in his diss.
No, it's not. It. Like, none of it. No, nobody else is serious, bro.
Like, yeah. Rocky, go back and take care of your family, nigga. And please. Yeah, that is the last point. It's just like, there is, like, we know who the main events are. Like, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, like, Future and Metro winning, regardless of Metro, what this nigga Metro, Drake said about them.
No, stop. Future's winning. That nigga Metro has negative points as well.
No.
Yes.
Metro.
He's just a producer, bro.
Bro.
Metro's fine in my eyes. Which is the point, bro. After these two albums, we're going to talk about
that. Show that Metro lost.
He lost, bro.
He's just a producer.
Like, he got the boy. He got reduced. He got reduced down to a drummer boy, bro.
Yeah. It's kind of tough for Metro. Like,
he was literally calling himself
a Kanye like that remix coming out. It's like, nah, it's not hitting. I'm sorry.
He was calling himself a superhero, bro. And then he got exposed on Twitter, and now he got called a drummer boy.
All right, we done with the Drake future. We done with that with the Drake Kendrick beef, man. We'll see what happens, bro. Right now, like, nigga, just excited to hear what's next.
All
right,
who's got an unheard?
I do. This is Paco Panama. This is called Rap Shit Easy.
Mom said I smell like new money. Started selling eggs. I fell in love with them blue honey. A real Eskimo, my block like Cool Runnings. Auntie walk up Diddy Bob, I'm like, she already knew something. This shit the real wide, we all tryna move something. I ain't selling dubs, but the 50s look like croutons. If you ain't come to cop, the nigga move on. I watch Auntie hit the drop, then get a groove on. Yeah, the lights out, still a ice house. I know some junkies that's gonna kill you for a ice house. He think he's safe up in the feds, I sent that kite out. I just cooked me up a brick, it smell like whiteout. Shitting on these niggas just like my son diapers. I'm just trying to use a kitchen, I ain't trying to wipe. 4305, pulling all nighters. In the junkie house, all you hear is all lighters.
Future and Metro dropped their follow-up album to We Don't Trust You. We still don't trust you. Hefty track list, 18 songs on side A, an additional 7 on side B, hour and a half.
That shit is ridiculous, I can't lie. Like,
it is not ridiculous. It is a hefty offering. I will say, though, it plays well, man. It plays well. I think this is what we were all expecting in some way or another. We knew that on the first offering we would probably get, you know, what we would call somewhat typical Future and Metro, hard hitting trap beats, Future rapping about drugs, women, and money, you know, just the typical. Of course, it was great. We enjoyed that. But on here, man, we got something different. I wouldn't call it Hendrix-esque. I think it takes a little bit of a different, has a little bit of a different feeling. But again, more of that heavy R&B leaning, a lot of crooning from Future, a lot of R&B old soul samples from Metro. And I have to say, man, I love the execution. There are a lot of great records on here. I mean, everything from Out of My Hands to Start It Off, Leading Into Jealous, incredible tracks. This Sunday, Drake or Future drops the reference track to Feel No Ways.
Feel away, feel away, darn nigga, feel away, feel away. Told my nigga, sip away, pour it up, sip away, sip away.
All to Myself with Future, Metro, and Weeknd, man, probably the highlight. One of my highlights of the album. And I think, you know, starting there, they go into a great run. Nights Like This, great, great track. Overload, Gracious. And then probably my favorite track on the whole album, Beat It, Man.
The look of bring out who you is, who you really are. Eating Waffle House, diners requesting caviar. She gets so drunk, her vagina tastes like Yasuzor. I almost kept it cold, but static and turned her to a star. I took her bowling on the Tuesday because the block was hot. We did some shrooms, she did some whippets with a few of the vibes. She see the twilight on my stones, it's fucking with her eye. I'm gone, but I'm in my right mind.
I think I said this, but Beat It might be one of Future's best songs ever, bro. That track from the Metro production, the eerie Metro production, just kind of make you feel like you're in a little bit of like a scary movie. And then just the charisma and the delivery. And just how they put the thing together from Future, man. Just a perfect track. Beat It. Love it. And then they go side B. I think, you know, Vance, you say you didn't like that as much, but typical Metro and Future.
I was just exhausted.
Going crazy. And I like that too, man. Sounds great in the gym. Sounds great in the whip. I would say, you know, to end off my review, man, my team winning, bro. I mean, Future and Metro, I couldn't have asked for anything more, man. I couldn't have asked for anything more with these two albums. Lots of replayability. They get better with each listen. Different vibes on each. They kept it pretty lean with the features, bro. I mean, not a whole lot of filler. I'm just happy.
I think what like made me happiest about this project is, I think I tweeted it, like, my biggest complaint about the whole beef, outside all the AI stuff, you know, was the fact that it was taking away from the quality and like the talk around Future's actual album, the first one. And he kind of just like respectfully like took a step back out of the beef on this project. Just a whole different theme. You know, I wasn't I was almost afraid with the title, album title, that we were going to get another album with like tons of disses and stuff like that. And in my opinion, that was just going to kill not only the second album, but the value of the first album for me. It was always going to look really corny. But I'm glad like he just went in a whole different direction. Like really gave us music. Yeah. I mean, Chance kind of nailed it. A lot of the soul samples stood out. But really just a lot of different stuff. Like Metro really kind of flexed his production back on this one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I feel like even back in the day, you know, when it was like when he was doing the 21 Savage stuff or a lot of the Future stuff, like it was like every artist had their own world. And that's almost what we loved about Metro. Like that first like 21 Savage tape that had its kind of own world. And then, you know, those Future like Future Monster EP that kind of had its own world, too. But I think this is like one of the best examples of an artist coming together with a producer and not really
making an album only they can make.
Yeah. Not living exclusively like in a world, you know, there's no like type beat you could type in to get like a, we still don't trust you type beat, because there's just like so many different types of sounds and stuff on this project, which even if I don't love all the records, I can appreciate like how hard it is to do that. So definitely like tip my cat.
I don't know. If we recorded this episode last week, I probably would have been like head over the moon about the whole execution of both albums. The extra week is really, I'm just not going back to it that much. I still like We Still Don't Trust You a lot. That'll probably be in like one of my favorite albums of the year. Just because I really
You're not going back to the first one.
I'm not going back to the first one, like really at all. I listen to We Still Don't Trust You a good amount, but that's just because like that's my bag. I love that bag of like rap, R&B, dark. I really like that second one. I wish they hadn't done the like Metro said it was to give everybody the taste of that old mixtape Future with the seven songs at the end. Kind of wish they hadn't done that. It's just kind of, I don't know. I really like the concise like 18 songs all one bag, but I guess I get it. Yeah, I like We Still Don't Trust You.
It's like a deluxe, bro.
Yeah, I just wish it was the second album. I wish it was there later. Yeah, like maybe like 2 months later or some shit, like right before the tour starts, but not like on the second album. Like,
a little nitpicky, but okay, I'll let you get that off.
But yeah, I like the vibe of We Still Don't Trust You. I think, like, I don't skip anything other than the intro's kind of weird. Other than the intro, I don't really skip anything. I like start from track two and I just keep going. It's pretty good. That's my favorite tracks. I really like Chance Mentioned Jealous. Jealous was great. I think Came to the Party is underrated.
Out Came of my to hands. The party for the photos.
That hook just gets stuck in your head.
Came to the party for the photos. Show off my new outfit and show off my new bitch. Came to the party for the photos. Show off my new outfit and show off my new bitch. Came to the party for the photos. Show off my new outfit and show off my new bitch.
Show off my new outfit and show off my new bitch.
Very, very simple premise of like, this is a simple-minded guy, but it sounds hard.
But yeah. this is something I can totally see. You
exactly. The beat is crazy. It's like a wild record. It sounds like a Russian roulette is about to happen, like in the middle of the bar.
And that's the feeling, like when you first walk in the door at the party. Like,
it's like, whoa. This shit sounds mad to the man.
Right, yeah. I did just show up to the party and show my new outfit and my new bitch. Yeah, look at me.
I agree with Chance. I think Beat It is great. Another underrated. It's just like, it feels very momentous of like, Chance mentioned this one, it goes in Future's catalog of like one of those, his best ever. And it feels like Future knew that when he came into the track of like, yeah, this going to be one of the ones. Like
pushing proper perspective, the way I look at exactly. You niggas. But you know, like, it's not even really a Drake diss, but it's just like, nigga, Drake, you could get put in there too, nigga. Like, I got to push in a proper perspective. Like,
yeah, beat it, nigga. It doesn't feel like a diss. It feels like more of like a nigga, I know my rank. Like, don't try it. Like, a,
but then
like
you put beat it knowing that Drake referred to himself as Mike Jack. Does it like, there's...
Oh, I never thought about that.
Beat it, nigga. Like, it kind of like, that's what everybody was talking about before the Elm drop. Like, oh, here you go to the other Drake diss. But it's like, it's not even really a Drake diss, but it's just like, nigga, I got to push in the proper perspective the way I look at
niggas. No, he definitely did.
Make me easy for you. Wait, me to cook up you niggas.
We definitely skipped over the fact that he did a whole Feel No Ways interpolation on that song.
No, I mentioned it. Sunday. I mentioned
oh,
it.
You did mention it. You mentioned
it. Yeah, this Sunday. Like a little jab. Like also like, hey, nigga.
Okay,
like,
okay. I didn't.
This the reference for that too.
Like going back to Vance's point, I think that's what I like more about We Still Don't Trust You and why I'm not going back to We Don't Trust You that much is because it feels separated from the Drake beef. And I'm like, I personally am kind of fatigued at the whole, like every time you open Twitter, it's like Elon's algorithm is a million things about this beef. So like just being able to listen to music and being like, this song is about Future wanting to show off his outfit at a party and not some like subliminals to Drake. Like, thank you. So it's like, I like that part. I really like this album a lot. It's really good.
You guys mentioned real quick, last point on the production. You guys mentioned favorite songs. I agree with most, but I have to shout out All to Myself with The Weeknd. The production, I mean, you know, the song is cool, but the way Metro sampled Let's Lay Together by the Isley Brothers.
Taking it all, taking it all, taking it all.
Like infused it with The Weeknd vocals to where like sometimes you'd be like, damn, is this like Ron Isley or is this The Weeknd? Like, I can't tell who's singing right now. Like, I love when it's such a weird nitpicky thing, but like if there's any producers listening to the episode, like they'll know like that dopamine rush that I'm talking about. It's just like the sample is done so well that for like almost a half second, the brain has no clue if it's the sample singing or if it's the lead vocal singing. So yeah.
Nah, them niggas like a big three, nigga. Them niggas is like them niggas is Bosh, D Wade, and LeBron on this bitch. Like Weeknd is playing LeBron too. Like the way Weeknd just the way I love how you mentioned that. Great sample to set up the track, right? You get Future doing his thing, crooning, doing like if this was just a Future track, it'll still be a great track.
Great.
But then you set the stage about a minute and a half in, Weeknd just comes on this bitch and gives us the most angelic, just beautiful verse. Like,
I promise that I got your back. Ooh, look at how we moving back. They could never just my brother's back. Yes. When they got leaks in their operation, I thank God that I never signed my life away.
Listen, bro, I will say, man, only thing is, Tosh, I disagree with you. I agree that both of these tracks offer different vibes, and I think for you know, different listeners, they're going to gravitate to different ones. But that We Don't Trust You still has a place.
I mean, I think Tosh said it. There's still
a lot of great tracks on that I'm revisiting there.
Tosh said it. Like, one's for, you know, one's more trap Future and one's more R&B Future. Like, it's what everybody wanted. And, like, the whole point is that if you don't love the first one, there's a whole 18 songs, well, 25 songs on the second joint for you to listen to.
Yeah, yeah, really. That Rocky verse is terrible. yeah. Rocky, that nigga has not been rapping.
I can't lie, bro. I don't know what, bro. They got to be the Rihanna motion, because he was on the Brent Faiyaz project, which he did okay on. You know, I thought there might be chance of a revival, and then he hopped on. Just recently, the Doja Cat Deluxe.
Doja, yeah.
I was like, especially when Doja did the Rocky flow and sounded better than Rocky. I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah, you can go back to the him on the Yeba shit. Nigga came on Yeba Dubba Doo. Yeah. I'm with Yeba and the crew. I'm like, nigga, what? What are you talking about?
He's insane for that. Yeah, it's safe to say my prediction of the revival was incorrect.
Man, listen, bro.
Hopefully,
how that old saying go, man?
You can't teach
all times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. That nigga has been having a lot of good times. Boy has given Rihanna two babies. Filthy rich, billionaire by extension.
They share credit cards.
Just doing the shit he always wanted to do. Just focusing on the fashion shit. Just vibing out. Like, I can't be mad at bro, man. Like, you gave us some nice music, nigga. Like, fuck it. Like, live your life, man.
Make some t-shirts, bro.
Just make some clothes, or I don't even know. Fuck making clothes. Like, what are you even doing it for? You don't need no money. Just keep making them babies.
This is just so hilarious. Nigga really ended the verse too. Like, fuck rap beef. We can really send it up to the streets. Like, nigga, your verse wasn't hard enough for me to even be mad. I'm not mad at you, nigga.
It's getting to unheard, man. I'm going to play the Nascent beats and Orion's son, man. Big Brown Eyes.
Shout out Nascent.
Big brown eyes. I want to remember us just like this. By your side. I want to remember us just like this. Just like. Slowly, I'm a shell of what I could be. Reminiscing now, all the love we shared. I woke up in the eye of the storm, stealing my clothes from the night before. Hope could be a prison sometimes.
Everybody listening, if you haven't obviously heard this episode alone, you know, we're fans of hip hop. We're fans of rap. You know, I feel like we wouldn't have gone back and forth every week, you know, for 150 episodes if we weren't fans of hip hop. And, you know, we've been talking about the UMG stuff with TikTok and how much TikTok is being utilized as a platform, you know, to garner fandom, you know, measure fandom and kind of, you know, what we like to call motion around like an artist or around a movement, a trend. And while it's kind of been something noted and documented and picked up upon by like kind of fans and observers in the space, I feel like we're now starting to see more kind of corporations and more like the idea of the super fan is being, I mean, I'm sure it was once a thing, you know, back in the day before when there were more like global superstars pre-internet. I'm sure like the major labels focused a lot on super fans. Like if you were on the same label as Michael Jackson, you probably had no marketing. Like they were not focused on your fans at all. It was like all focused on Michael Jackson fans and how to market to them and make things exciting for them. But I feel like we're starting to see that come back. I saw an article from Music Business Worldwide. I think just at the end of last month, Warner Music had some, you know, global tech summit where they're kind of supposed to report like where they're headed in the future, what they're looking for like the next year in terms of goals they're trying to accomplish and, you know, challenges they're trying to overcome and stuff like that. And AI was obviously one big talk, but the CEO also mentioned that they're trying to like a super fan platform, almost like an app, but he was kind of shying away a little bit from using the app word a ton. But it would essentially be a platform that comes together and kind of combines, I don't really know how it would work, but it would combine almost everything we love in terms of music consumption about all of our favorite platforms. So like maybe the stories, like the idea of stories and like how people put music with stories, like they might draw that from Instagram and then draw like TikTok videos, you know, like short form dancing, audio filled videos, like they might draw that and put that on the platform. But the reasoning was that, you know, artists want to focus on making music and they don't want to focus on content a ton and making content for different platforms. You know, you got to make a YouTube type video, then you got to make one for TikTok, one for Instagram, something else for Twitter. And the idea would be that you can consolidate all that into one platform and just centralize it for your fan. Then kind of, you know, that's the corporate side. And the recent thing I saw almost on the fan side when it came to super fandom, obviously arguably the biggest, or let's say like the hottest rapper right now, Playboi Carti, recently saw that his fan base has created, I don't know if this was created through Discord or Reddit or what, however they're communicating, might be Telegram, but they created an AI album for Playboi Carti called Project YVL. It consists of like, what, 15 songs. I skimmed through it. There's like features on there from Yeet, Don Toliver, Travis Scott, Camila Cabello.
Like, nasty.
It's a full drawn out album. And a YouTube user who's kind of been, I guess, at the forefront of assembling this project actually dropped a music video. He created a music video himself. Looks like there's two people in the video. You know, follows the Carti theme. It looks like it's shot on like a regular VCR type camera. And they're dressed in all black with masks on and like dancing and like doing like motions like at night, like in some random park. And
should have been at a gas station.
Outside of the facts, they should be at a gas station. But like outside of the actual video itself, you know, I'm always somebody that is more interested in the reaction to a lot of things. And I just noticed like all the comments, people were just highlighting the fact that like Carti fans different, you know, like Carti fans like will do this. Like it's tough that Carti's fans will go this route just to like hear his music. And it was interesting because it was a way like more positive response than I was expecting. Because, you know, AI, I feel like, has been like the devil when it comes to music in the last 5-6 months. So I thought it was interesting that like when it came under the lens of like being a super fan, that's all they had to do was like change the lens of like we're doing it, but because we're super fans. And everybody was like, OK, cool. Like it's OK now. Like, as long as we know you guys aren't trying to like make a crazy profit off of this or anything. So with that evidence kind of on the table, I present, like, I kind of ask you guys, like, how, like, what do you think? Like, do you think the super fan, like the definition of a super fan in music or in rap has kind of changed drastically since we were, you know, like that high school age?
What was a super fan when we were in high school? I don't think so. I feel like this is the same thing. They're just using,
like, you have to go to the show tools now to be a super fan still.
Do you have to go to a what?
Do you have to go to the show?
A show?
Like, to the show of, like, an artist you would claim, like.
How are you a super fan and you don't go to the shows?
I'm just saying, like, is that, does that hold as much weight, I guess is my point, as it did when we were.
Yeah, supporting the artist, I feel like, is a key quality in being classified as a super fan.
Well, if you tell me your favorite artist in town and you ain't going to the concert, like, are you really a super
fan? But if they're not, like, that's my point. Like, there would be, like, back in the day, if the artist didn't come to your town, you wouldn't know about them, right? There'd be no way before the internet. So, like,
well, nigga, that wasn't back in our day. You asked back in our day.
Okay, well, okay. I guess in terms of, like, online culture. So you think it was the same? You think, like, the stand stuff was, like, pretty much the same?
I think it's the same. Like, niggas in high school were trying to, they had a favorite artist. They were trying to sound like their artist on SoundCloud, put it out on SoundCloud, like. Now they actually have tools to make them literally sound like the artist. They're just kind of doing the same thing.
So you think, I don't know if we had that,
niggas
AI
were making full albums, but,
no, but
I know for a fact if I was in high school, like, with AI, I would have tried to put a fucking Earl filter on my voice and played around in a boring period and just bored in fucking one class and done that shit.
That's interesting because I saw, what was it, that tweet that I sent in the group chat. That was just talking about kind of how the new age fan cares more about business and, like, rollouts and kind of, like, the steps in the process more so than, like, the actual, like, result of those steps and, like, the actual product being put out. Let me find the tweet.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think that's a key definition too. When you say super fan, I look at super fan in a positive light. I feel like what you're describing is stans.
Okay, so you don't think they're the same? I look at stans in an
incredibly negative light. Yeah, I don't think they're the same.
Okay, interesting. Interesting.
I think stans are like super fans going wrong. Like, you saw The Incredibles with, like, the nigga who, like, was a fan of Mr. Incredible, then Mr. Incredible shunned him and he became the villain.
Right, right, right.
I forgot his name. Yeah, that's a stan to me. No, like,
wasn't Jack. That's the baby.
No, Jack was the baby.
Jack is the baby. I know.
That's a stand to me. Like, they, like, turn the evil. They turn, like, to almost like a parasitic relationship. Whereas, like, a super fan, it's like they're giving something. Like, they're going to the shows. They're, like, engaging in forums and shit. They're, like, promoting your single. They're not just, like, they're not doing it in an unhealthy manner. Like, the artist would fuck with a super fan. I feel like most artists probably don't fuck with stans. Like, they kind of would get weirded out.
Yeah, I feel like my question does look a little crazy because, like, didn't Eminem drop that stan song, like, yeah, when we were, like, four? We were, like, six years old, and he was talking about the idea of, like, obsessive fans that, like, love you until they hate you. So, yeah, I don't know. Just think it's interesting. What do you think about, like, the idea of, like, a platform for, like, trying to hone in on stans? I feel like it's forcing it a little bit.
They already have a platform.
No, you know, the labels want a platform. Or you're just saying they need to bend the knee to TikTok?
TikTok and Twitter, man, that's already the platform.
I don't think it's happening.
Those are work.
The labels
are. Those are working just fine.
The labels aren't making shit on there. They're not making a platform. Especially when they already have vested interest in Spotify. Like, why would they then create a platform of their own? Spotify's adding video more throughout their platform, like, every quarter. And, yeah, they're not making a platform. And they acquire... Like, UMG acquired Complex or some shit like that. It's like, they'll just buy these things to, like, reach these initiatives. I don't think they're going to create anything. They'll just keep buying, then, what's like, hot. forcing, like, their, what they want into it. Like, with Complex, they bought Complex, and then they want to pair Complex with this other company they bought, Network, which is basically, like, sells, like, artists, like, streetwear and collectibles and vinyls. So now, like, you'll read a Complex article instead of, like, your ad about today's playoff game, you see an ad about artist's vinyl or some shit like that. Like, that's what's going to happen.
Because I was about to say, I want to Google it real quick before I misspeak. Right, okay. So I know, like, in 2020, Warner and Universal both, you know, went public with, like, their IPO. So now they're, like, have shareholders and all that. Yeah. Do you think this is all just, like, noise for that? Because you're right, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, the labels have made, they made, like, record money, I think, in 2023. Or what was it? Yeah, I think it was throughout 2023. Like, they made record money. Labels were up. Streaming income was up. Yet, like, they're complaining.
Everything goes back to them going public in 2020. Like, this, you once you go public, you have, like, a fiduciary duty to, like, consistently make your stock rise or whatever. So it's like, what can they do to make their stock rise? They can make their margins look better by firing everybody. They fired everybody. What can they do? They can, like, throw out buzzwords to, like, attract people. Like them, the word super fan coming from UMG is essentially them saying, like, we've got people who give us limitless amounts of money. Like, trust us, we're going to be worth so much in the future. When in reality, they don't really give a fuck about the super fan. Like,
I agree. I don't put too much faith in them. I feel like you got to leave it, like, natural. Like, I feel like they just got to bend the knee to TikTok, bro. TikTok got it. And I feel like unless you got it, you don't have the right to say somebody else doesn't have it. You know?
Yeah.
Just bend the knee.
Yeah.
It's okay. Just bend the knee.
There actually is a Superfan app. The name Superfan. It was the app that inspired Spotify's Daylist. It was basically like you log in, it reads your data of like your listening history for the week and tells you what vibe you were in all week. And Spotify turned that shit into a daily thing with a playlist.
Is that still a thing?
Daylist?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still a thing.
I feel like those Spotify things get so old so quick because, like, it's just tech, though. Like, it's all hype. Like, it's hype. Then they have a couple people roll it out on Twitter. And then, like, everybody goes crazy with the feature. And then, like, after a week, it's, like, a few tweets of people just being like, this shit gives me the same songs every day. And then there's just, like, no more talk about it.
Because it's not... They're not coming up with these ideas. They're fucking seeing what works and they're trying to reverse engineer it. And then engineers are like, even though it's tech, it's like niggas behind the tech. If they're not inspired, they're just going to like do whatever it is to get it out. And then it's like, it's not going to be that hard. But I think that's what's happening. And they increased their price again.
Spotify did?
Yeah. Interesting times for Spotify.
I told you, bro. I said, I don't know if I said on the podcast, but it's the PS5 on offer up, bro. It's been every decision you see Spotify make in the news. Just think about the PS5 on offer up for $100 going through it.
I'll say if you listen as far, 5 stars on Spotify, 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, subscribe on Spotify, subscribe on both. Like, even if you don't use both, just subscribe on both. Follow on Twitter, follow on Instagram. Chance of those ads earlier. Download Cosign. Fun stuff happened on Cosign. Yeah. Speaking of, we talked about AI a lot on this podcast, a lot of AI and Cosign. I feel like I'm becoming an AI expert.
You wrote the disc? Download
Cosign. I was the one who wrote the Tupac disc. That's it. Next episode, obviously, Chance's Guy, Party Next Door is dropping. We'll be back with Club Che Che. We'll have more industry shit. I got a really interesting topic I wanted to talk about, but this episode was packed. I feel like rap is being colonized in real time, but I'll save that for next episode. Those are my last words.
In a novel way, it's being colonized, or you think it's just like we're seeing the same thing over again and like we're not recognizing it? And like
colonized in the sense of like the gatekeepers have been replaced by outsiders and they are bringing in outsiders to the forefront, and then niggas who like in the past could object can't even object without seeming like haters or seeming crazy.
But do you think, I guess my point is, and I'm just picking your brain, I'm not like dead ass arguing with you, but like, do you think this is like a newer thing of like in terms of like the new gatekeepers, like if you, like the new gatekeepers new are so established that if you say something different, you're anti?
I think it's new in the sense of who's promoting and who is being promoted.
That's fair.
I don't think it's different. The narrative is different. Ecosystem. But I think the artist being pushed to the forefront is different.
Now, the public-facing narratives are for sure different. Like, that nigga Ian might be on, like, Funk Flex in, like, a month. And, like, that would never happen in, like, 2014.
Exactly. But saving that, that's next episode.
Yeah, they're not jokes anymore. Like, Slim Jesus.
Chance, you got any last words before I get unheard in?
Damn, my fault. I didn't think that was going to be on the pie.
No, man. No last words, man. Everybody take it easy, man. Beat it.
Beat it is bro, crazy. Man. You about to start telling niggas, beat it. Pause. No Diddy.
Nigga said, beat it.
I'm playing Clip. This is low-key. I'm a good bitch, but I can be bad for you. It's a secret. Don't tell them how I give it to you. Be a little rough. It's okay. I'm down for it. Jump down on it. Watch me while I drop on it.
Podcast over, dog.